And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. So some breaking news just came out, and I got to jump on it real quick and let you know because we're talking about it in the last few minutes. So in the last few minutes, it has been announced that the Department of Justice, Attorney General Pam Bondi, has received Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's criminal referrals on the Russiagate collusion issue and has now convened a grand jury. So a grand jury investigation is about to get underway. What does that mean? So for those who don't already know, a grand jury is the impaneled group of citizens who are then presented evidence by a prosecutor, and the grand jury then votes on whether there's enough there to issue an indictment. It sort of takes things out of the hands of the government, if you will. It sort of puts things into a checks and balances moment. There's the old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich. I mean, the rules of evidence are different in grand jury. They're not required to be as detailed. They can get away with some things that they might not, you know, otherwise do. You got to literally watch prosecutorial abuse. You just do. At the same time, it's also a very important process. It's also the first layer in what could wind up being criminal indictments. So this is a whole new day. And for those of y'all that have been saying, when's somebody going to jail? You're watching the process unfold. Keep in mind, Trump has not even been in office but about 6 months. And now they have found the documents. And now they have referred to the DOJ. And now they have convened a grand jury. So yes, a grand jury investigation just launched. In the last hour, it was announced. Attorney General Pam Bondi, says Fox News, directed her staff on Monday to act on the criminal referral from DNI Tulsi Gabbard related to the alleged conspiracy to tie President Donald Trump to Russia. Bondi ordered an unnamed federal prosecutor. We don't know who it's going to be yet. It'll probably come out at some point, but then again, it might wind up being part of the grand jury secrecy, which, by the way, is a very secret proceeding. You're not allowed to have leaks from the grand jury. You're not allowed to have press conferences. You know, you're not allowed to go interview the impaneled members of the grand jury. And also, by the way, what's said in the grand jury is supposed to be confidential because, keep in mind, it's talking about people in a way that may not result in an indictment, but would certainly indict them in the public eye. And you just don't do that. You don't ruin lives. You don't destroy people on something that has not become actionable at law. But I'm going to tell you right now, what we do understand is that some of the names being floated, I mean, keep in mind who Tulsi Gabbard referred. That means she found something she thought was so serious she had to give it over to law enforcement or prosecutors. She had to turn it in. So the formal process of referral was also important. Sometimes the DOJ finds things on their own. Other times, though, it comes to them by referral. It's the same thing at the local level. If I see a crime, if you stumble across something in the middle of a lawsuit and you realize, holy cow, that person embezzled money. You go to the DA and you say, hey, I got a thing. I think I'm going to have to go ahead and say this has gone into a criminal proceeding. And they'll look at it and decide. Same thing true at the federal level. Things are found. They are referred. They then get impaneled into a grand jury. The grand jury then takes a look. And the grand jury begins to decide, based upon the evidence presented to them in the grand jury in secrecy, whether or not there is something there sufficient to enact. In this case, the names that Tulsi Gabbard referred, I believe, were John Brennan and James Comey. If there's anybody else, I'm not aware, although we do know that some of the names on these memos that were so incredibly damning, these memos had names like Andrew McCabe from the FBI. You had DNI Clapper. You had CIA Brennan. You had FBI James Comey. You had also FBI Andrew McCabe, like I said. You had Susan Rice, National Security Advisor. If they were complicit in some way in forming a hoax with the intent of undermining the government, by the way, that's the other piece. The question is, were they acting on something they believed in good faith that they had to check out and they had reason to believe? Or were they literally saying, let's change the intel and go after him so that we can undermine the presidency? That's what's being presented to the grand jury. All right, more on this and your text messages. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, this show goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches. North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio audience. That's just all y'all listening to radio. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and like dialing in and watching live stream on air from X and Rumble and YouTube and Facebook. And oh, by the way, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then there's those of y'all that podcast after the fact. Anyway, the bottom line is this. I say all those things to say, we know where you are. We love the fact that you're there. The fact that this audience picks it up in a variety of different ways. Listen, all y'all mean the world to us. You're the only reason why we do what we do. Thank you very much. I'm going to stay on this thing real quickly. So the grand jury proceedings are kicking off. This is the next layer right now. Now, I can't tell you what a grand jury is going to do. I can't tell you which way it's going to go. So Attorney General Pam Bondi has now apparently taken the referral from Tulsi Gabbard and directed her staff to then initiate a grand jury, to convene a grand jury and to create the investigation. By the way, the grand jury has two pieces, all right? It's got an investigative capacity. Like a grand jury can actually subpoena documents, can require witnesses to come in and testify under oath, force them to actually testify. You know, under subpoena, you have to be there. A grand jury subpoena is not to be ignored. And even when grand jury subpoenas are issued, though, it doesn't mean that criminal charges are going to be brought. It just means you are required to come and testify. And you can bring counsel. You can have advice of counsel as you go in, but you've got to appear, and you may be a witness only, but then they have charging capacity. And a grand jury's charging capacity means that it can actually make the determination about whether there's enough evidence there to constitute an actual probable cause that a crime has been committed, and then charge that person. And then the indictment comes down. And then they have to go through the whole process of going to trial or making a plea deal or whatever the case may be. So names that we hear right now are Comey and James Comey. And John Brennan, those two names have been bandied about. JP just did some searching online right before we got, you know, back on the air, found a soundbite. I'd forgotten about this press conference. Is this one she did with Tulsi Gabbard and Caroline Leavitt at the White House?
Yeah, this was the initial press conference with Tulsi and Caroline to announce that they were, you know, what they found.
Okay, and she actually mentions Obama in it.
Yeah.
How long is this clip? About 30 seconds?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a clip. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, talking about the fact that there was a referral made that might include some big names. Play it.
Do you believe that any of this new information implicates former President Obama in criminal behavior?
We have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this.
For even former President evidence, Obama?
Correct. The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that fact.
Okay, that's pretty clear. She even said correct, which she said even Obama correct. I mean, so what we're hearing there is the whole cabal. And keep in mind, this is dating back. This is all breaking news. All right. So this is not one of my dippers for the day. I'm chasing a rabbit. So I'm going to have to go as much from memory like y'all do on the story. But the bottom line is this. We now know because of documents that Tulsi Gabbard's people uncovered. We're talking about pulling them out of file cabinets, downloading them off of thumb drives, getting them off of computers, finding them in back rooms, who knows. But the end result is, once it's done and it's documented, it becomes a thing, man, and there's going to be a record somewhere. And so Tulsi Gabbard's people, as a director of national intelligence, uncovered evidence that all of the intel reports and analyses leading up to the time of the election in 2016, were clearly saying, we don't see collusion, we don't see collusion, we don't see collusion. Russia would love to meddle, but we don't see any collusion. And then on December, I think it was 9th or 19th of 2016, you have a meeting at the White House. Obama called in his national security team. That would be Susan Rice, that'd be John Brennan, that'd be James Clapper, that'd be James Comey, that'd be John Brennan, that'd be Andrew McCabe, and I think I said Susan Rice already, but then all, and I think even, I can see his face, I can't say his name right now, it doesn't matter, I'm going off the cuff. But that cabal got together, and all of a sudden, they walked out the door with new marching orders. Memos have now been uncovered since that meeting that, contrary to the memos that are in place before that meeting, say, per the president's directive, we will redirect the intelligence. In other words, we got to reconstruct the storyline. And all of a sudden, Russia collusion was birthed just like that. And we spent the next 4 years with the Mueller investigation, you know, with having to go through millions and millions and millions of U.S. tax dollars being spent to investigate something that found nothing. We had any number of shouts from the liberal left media. We had our world turned upside down. And we truly wound up having the Trump administration, number one, the 1.0 Trump, being constantly impeded in its ability to move forward by this lie that he had somehow colluded with a foreign government in order to win the election. All of which appears to have been something that Hillary Clinton absolutely requested to have happen. Keep in mind, she had been Secretary of State. So that's where we are right now. What you got, dude?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you saw the story, too, last Wednesday about Cash Patel finding thousands of more documents in burn bags.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, so, yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
No.
It's standard procedure to put documents in burn bags in the FBI, you know.
Well, okay, I will say, yes, it is. Mm. Having worked in the Pentagon, having worked in a skiff, burn bags are what you do. When you're through with a piece of paper, you can't just throw it away. Even shredding is bad. So you actually put them in burn bags, and they send people around whose job it is to come and collect the burn bag. You actually have to – they're actually marked bags, and they're marked with red exterior labels. And once you put the documents in there that are classified, you fold it down. They have to be stapled shut, have a date written on them, and then they're put in a certain place. And every day, a team comes around and actually there's furnaces at the Pentagon that all they do is burn bags.
And really?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of national security. So I don't fault them for having burn bags. The question is, why were these burn bags still in a room never burned?
Yeah. Secretly.
They're like failure of protocol, but then the other piece is, how come we didn't know about these documents before?
Yeah, like he's discovering them.
Like, you know, a grand jury may not be privy to, you know, code word protected stuff. I get it. They may not be privileged to the SAP programs at the TS level. But if there's something that actually is exculpatory in nature, that actually proves that a storyline being foisted is actually not the reality, at some point you have to pull back. And if the FBI had these documents, well, the FBI was the one pushing for the Russia collusion story.
Yeah.
That's just jacked up. Okay. Burn bags. I'm having flashbacks to the Pentagon now. All right. We'll tell you more as we know more. Let me get some text messages. How much time we got? I got time. Tom with all the kids says some locations don't have certified incinerators and they require transportation of the burn bags to another location. Good point. Pentagon being where I was at the time, has got everything. So you're right. I'm sure there are places. I don't know how y'all, Tom, if you want to chime in, you can again, but I don't know how y'all handle burn bags on Redstone. Is there a centralized facility where they come pick them up and transport them like they would in a armored car or something? I don't know. Then we got, somebody else is texting in who calls himself Dirty Old Man from Madison. Okay. Dirty old man from Madison. Welcome to the text lines. He said the grand jury is convened in D.C. There's going to be a no bill. That's my thought. I agree. Because the impaneled members of a grand jury come from the jurisdiction. So if you're impaneled on a grand jury, you reflect typically the jurisdictional, you know, population. I will say this, Jeanine Pirro was just confirmed. She is the U.S. attorney now for D.C., but she can't do everything herself. It's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out. I would suspect that it's not going to be in D.C., but it depends. Tom with all the kids again says, I could tell you, but then I have to kill you. Well, Tom, good Lord. Mike from Muscle Shoals. Hey, Phil, is there any info when they're going to convene the grand jury? My understanding is the directive has been given to impanel the grand jury now. I don't know. I'm not privy to timelines. They haven't even announced who the prosecutor is, and they may not. But we'll work it out. Paul from Athens says, I love unnamed prosecutor. No media circus. No threats or manipulating the prosecutor or the family yet. Yeah, that's the whole point, dude. This is going to be, we're talking about some big, big names. Big, big names with lots of fingers. And if Hillary Clinton's involved, you know, good Lord. Every prosecutor who has to touch this thing needs to leave a note saying, I'm not suicidal, if you know what I mean. John M. from Huntsville. Is talking about, where are we? He's talking about the public broadcasting in rural stations, saying they chose to live in their rural areas. That is true. You're correct. Jay from Killen, Alabama, says, several minutes have passed since your monologue. I was driving. I couldn't touch my phone. I think Lincoln said, heavily paraphrased, that strict enforcement was key to the repeal of bad laws. You know, that's a good point. If you strictly enforce it, it'll wear out its welcome real quick. We'll see what they do. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, may they end up like General Flynn. Let the process be the pun. Wow. Shagnasty, the atheist checking in, though, calls it a kangaroo court. Because, of course it is when conservatives, you know, it ain't no fun when the rabbit's got the gun, is it, Shag? But the reality is, I trust this group at DOJ far more than I trusted the last one. Just saying. Kenan from Huntsville, dating back to our earlier conversations about the Huntsville City Ordinance that says you can't even touch a phone while you're driving, says, do Huntsville Police Department officers use the large computer screen and keyboard mounted on their dash while driving? I suspect they do. In fact, I'm sure they do. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, public broadcasting would still be being funded by the government if they were a neutral entity. But instead, all they did was broadcast communist manifestos and nothing right-wing. They had been basically warned for years that they were too stupid to think the funding would actually dry up. Yup. Thomas from Athens says, by the way, your article on 1819 News entitled A Common Sense Revolution was right on. I suggest good reading for other ruffians. Thomas, thank you. You can find it, by the way, we posted it on a rightsidemedia.org website. There's a place on there where it says read on rightsidemedia.org, and all the stuff's on there, and the Common Sense Revolution is now up, and thank you very much for that. That was the latest piece getting published around the region already. 1819 News always gets first stab at it because of our friendship and partnership there, but Common Sense Revolution is absolutely a part of what we're in right now. Last one before I go to the break. Tim Swine from Berkeley, Alabama. I don't know what that means. He says HPD and law enforcement sent the has exceptions in the law for computers. Oh, did they really? No kidding.
Okay, so I can have my Mac sitting on my console and texting people and all that, and that's fine.
No, actually, they can.
Oh, I see.
Not you.
I see.
Yes, indeed. Apparently, they're trained how to be distracted.
Yeah.
And then Shagnasty the Atheist again checking in saying, a popular saying online now is that Sherman didn't destroy enough of the South, and I now agree. Wow, Shag, you are absolutely 100% way in your element as we speak. I'd love to know where you're texting from, but you're not bold enough to tell us. All right, tell you what, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.